My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Can you clap your hands unto the Lord one more time? I tell you what, the presence of God is here in a special way, and God has been doing something special this week. Appreciate all the prayers that have gone forth. Such an incredible sincerity in the house of God here this morning. A bunch of open hearts and open spirits. And anytime that we have that, God is going to do something special in our midst. Amen. Not because of us, but because of His good pleasure. Amen. And give honor to this wonderful church and Pastor Kinsey and his wife and family. What an incredible example they are to me and my family and this generation. And I tell you what, I understand thoroughly that I would not be what I am and where I am without elders like Brother Kinsey and his family, leading the charge, leading the way, give an example for young men like me to have a love for truth, a love for this wonderful doctrine, a love for this wonderful cause. Aren't you thankful for apostolic leadership? Amen. Amen. Appreciate so much Brother and Sister Strobel and their family and what God is doing in him. I'm just amazed at the distinction on his life from the last time I was here. Just share with him. I'm not going to go into detail, but there is a noticeable anointing on him. I tell you what, I felt it when he got in the pulpit. I said, man, I don't know what you've been through over the last 2 years, but you've come forth as gold. You're not the same person you were 2 years ago. There is an apostolic anointing that is special. And just what a privilege for me to get to witness that. I tell you what, that's a delivering anointing right there. Amen. Amen. Brother Stafford and his wife and family, got to spend time with them. Thank you all so much for the hospitality. And I tell you what, they've spoiled me this week. And I got some gumbo Friday night. I just believe in gumbo. Amen. I just, something biblical about that. Amen. I'm still looking for that scripture where it talks about gumbo. Amen. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. Thankful for this wonderful choir, this wonderful chorale and musicians. Such a spirit of excellence upon them. And my beautiful wife, Louisa, I give honor to you. And we get to travel everywhere together with my son, James Asher. I go 90% of the time they're with me. And James Asher's been on, you know, well over 250 flights, so I was telling them the other day he has platinum status with American Airlines, so they're always surprised when they see platinum show up. I'm like, yeah, he's platinum. And he's like, water, please. Hey, man. I was telling him he crosses his legs on the airplane. He gets his water. He puts up the pinky finger, and he just sips slowly, and that'll be all. That'll be all. Y'all pray for us. Y'all pray for us. You know, it's like they say the first child, you know, the dirt gets in their mouth. You want to take them to the emergency room. Second child, dirt gets in their mouth. You're like, well, they'll be okay. third child gets dirt in their mouth and you're like, great, now I don't have to pay for lunch. Just a steady digression, amen. So we're typical first-time parents, amen. We just guard and protect and all of that, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, if you have it, say amen. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. The king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emil in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emil, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Verse 13, last scripture. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I want to preach to you on this subject this morning. Come forth. Come forth. Why don't you lay your Bibles down? Everyone close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Let's ask the Lord to have his way in this house. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the anointing that I feel in this place. I thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you for everything that you have already done in this assembly. God, we come to build upon that foundation. We've come to build on what you've already done. We thank you for the Welch family. We thank you for all those that are involved in this wonderful assembly, God. I ask that there would be a special anointing that would come forth and bless and touch and minister. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Come on, if you're excited, can you clap those hands a little bit louder? Come on, somebody open up your mouth and give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Come forth. It's amazing how humanity has a tendency to lose the wonder very quickly with certain things. It's amazing how fast humanity has a tendency to lose the sparkle in their eye with certain things that they once deemed precious and valuable. It's amazing how quickly it can happen. When you first met that girl and you saw those freckles on her face, you thought God in his omnipotence had put every freckle in the right spot, stretched it forth as if he stretched forth the galaxies. But after being around those freckles for a while, those same freckles start agitating you. Boy, I'm in trouble in this place. You used to drive 6 hours to go and visit her. Now, y'all been married for a while, and you complain when she asks you to go to Walmart 10 minutes away. Boy, somebody about to throw something at me in here. It's amazing how quickly that you can become common with something that you worked so hard for, that you chased after, but after you're around it for a while, it just can become common and taken for granted. You were in line on Black Friday for the first iPhone. The store didn't open up to 10 o'clock in the morning. You showed up 8 p.m. the night before, stood outside the store. You put a tent outside the building, made sure nobody cut you in line. You say, you better not cut me or I'm going to cut you. You put a tent outside the building. You put a couch in the tent. You put a entertainment center in the tent. Had the charges and wires all over so you could protect your spot, so you could be the first one to get the iPhone. And you found out, you know what? Now I don't even have to. Later you found out you don't have to do that big sum of money in the beginning. Now you got the AT&T Next plan. You could put $30 down right now. Come on, somebody, and get you a new phone. But that first iPhone, you were outside, you were sweating, you were ready, you just wanted one of them. But then 6 months later, you find out there's an iPhone 2 coming out. And all of a sudden, that one just starts looking a little old. And then the 3 and the 4 and the 5 and the 6 and the 7 and the 8. And finally you hear the 10s coming out. And you're like, behold the Lamb of God. This is what I've been waiting for. Look at all the features. This is what I've worked so hard for. Not even paying $1,000. I get to pay $30 a month. Leave out the store with an iPhone 10 in my pocket. But then 6 months later, your friend comes up to you and like, hey, I got the 11. It's like, bro, you still got the 8? Yeah. You got the 7? You got the 6? Have to call DCF on you. I've got, that's torture. That's abuse right there. What's happening in your home? You still got the 6. It's amazing how quickly what we worked hard for, what we were excited about, how quickly it can become common. And I've not come to beat anybody up about that. It happens with the most spiritual of people. The disciples, when they first met Jesus, they put down their net, they forsook their lifestyle, they forsook their businesses, they forsook the tax collecting to follow him. And when they saw Jesus' first prayer meeting, they began to be enamored and amazed when they saw him pray. They were so enamored they couldn't hold in this anymore. They finally cried out, Lord, teach us to pray. After they saw that prayer meeting, they were so amazed. They said, I want that. I want to be like that. But after being around Jesus for 3.5 years, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying his most important prayer meeting of his life, and the disciples can't stay awake. Because even God can become old. When you're around him so much. When you first heard about Jesus and his presence, it used to give you goosebumps. You used to run up to the altar, get on your knees, cry out for forgiveness. You used to cry. The sermon didn't have to be perfect. You showed up to the altar on the first point in the introduction. The singing didn't have to be perfect. The chords didn't have to be just right. It was the first song. You would respond with a tear coming down your eye. But after you're around it so much, now we got to do everything perfect for you. Now if we talk about the presence of God, you fall asleep. We got to talk about an angel or something. We got to talk about the devil to get you excited. Come on, it's time for us to get a value on the presence of God like we've never had before. Look at that.
We got to talk about an angel now. I got to tell you about Michael. I got to tell you about Gabriel to get you excited. I got to tell you that a devil's under your pew to finally get you to stand and stop folding your arms. Come on, somebody. I got to tell you a mystical story to get you to smile and get your joy like you used to have, because you've been around the present so much it just becomes old. Preach something new, preacher. I've been around this a while. It just doesn't move me anymore. But I feel like God is sending a baptism into Pensacola that says, you know what? I prioritize the presence and the power
over everything.
If you're thankful for the presence of God, you need to clap your hands. If you're thankful for the presence of God, you need to lift up your voice in this building. Hamasataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what it took to get into the presence of God in the Old Testament? One person once a year got to experience the presence of God. The high priest, and if you were not chosen to enter into his presence, the presence of God would kill you. You had to be qualified to enter into his presence once a year. That high priest would have to go get a bullock, go get a lamb, go get a goat. He'd have to kill it, go to the altar, pour its blood on the altar, go to the laver, cleanse himself, go beyond the pillars into the holy place. He'd have to do ministry at the table of shewbread. He'd have to do ministry at the seven golden candlesticks. He'd have to do ministry at the altar of incense. And once a year, he got to go into the holy of holies and minister on the ark of the covenant of the mercy seat. And if that priest wasn't right, the presence of God would come down and kill him. But now, after what Jesus did at Calvary, the veil is ripped from top to bottom, and you and I have free access into the presence of God. Hear me. But it is the same presence that can kill you. But when you're around it so much, you can send a funny text message. You can mock the preacher, mock the music. You can complain while you're in service. It's the same presence that can kill you. But you're just around it so much, you've just lost its value. Come on, somebody. I want to walk out of here this morning with a fresh reverence for God and his presence among us. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The voice of God spoke to Cain, spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. The first time the voice of God speaks, and the Bible says that Adam and Eve, that they hid themselves. They were afraid. They trembled when they heard God's voice. They quaked with fear when they heard God's voice. But just the next chapter, God would speak to Cain, and Cain would answer the voice of God saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The voice that made the previous generation quake. Cain had been around the voice so long, just didn't mean much to him anymore. Am I preaching yet? Hold on, it gets better, but the voice of God just kind of becomes boring. Do you know why God speaks? God doesn't speak just to speak. Did you know that? God speaks through a man of God, watch this, so you can act upon what he has spoken. So you got to ask yourself a question. When's the last time you acted on the word? Come on, somebody, because it's those that reverence and those that value the word that say, God, I will obey, I will go, I will do. I mean, I've not come this morning to preach about you losing the wonder with a person or an iPhone. I've not even come to talk about you losing the wonder with the presence of God. I've come in the Holy Ghost to preach to you losing the wonder in a different way that I want to illustrate through the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, he was the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan was the son of Saul. Saul Saul was the first king of the nation of Israel. The Israelites were not content to have God as their king. They wanted a visual representation of a king. And the lot fell on Saul. Saul, he was head and shoulders above everybody. He had the talent. He had the ability. He had all the necessary ingredients to be a great king for the nation of Israel. But somewhere along the line, Saul began to look at his talent and his ability and what he was. And there was a pride that rose up in his heart where he disobeyed the commandments of God. And when he disobeyed the commandments of God, he brought shame upon the nation of Israel. And he brought shame upon his lineage. So Jonathan, he had a son named Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth's name means dispeller of shame. Mephibosheth's name means that he was the destroyer of shame. Mephibosheth was born with the intention and the destiny to destroy all the shame that Saul had caused and restore glory and honor back to the kingdom and back to his lineage. Mephibosheth, he was born with an anointing. He was born to tear down the kingdoms of hell. He was born to do something great for God. There was an anointing on him. Everybody prophesied over him as a child. And they said, you're going to do something, Mephibosheth. You're not going to be what your granddad was. You're not going to be an alcoholic like they were. You're not going to be a drug addict like they were. Mephibosheth, God is raising you up to break the generational curse. Hamasataya, hallelujah. Mephibosheth, God is raising you up to break the generational curse and break the generational spirit that has tried to come on your family. You're not going to fail like Saul did. You're not going to fail like your granddad. I'm preaching to somebody in this building right now. Somebody's walking in there, Mephibosheth anointing. You're not going to backslide like they did. You're not going to turn your back on God like they did. God is wanting to use your walk to break. Come on. You're not going to go to prison like everybody in your family. No. You're going to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ over everything. Mephibosheth understood that he had a destiny. He understood that he was chosen to do something great. He understood that through his life, glory would come back on the family as his walk would eliminate the shame on his life. But a tragedy came into the life of Mephibosheth because Mephibosheth, the Bible says his dad and his granddad died in the same day. Now, it's one thing to lose dad. It's another thing to lose granddad, both in the same day. And Mephibosheth is 5 years old, and a nurse picks up Mephibosheth, this chosen vessel with all this destiny, with all this anointing, with all this incredible future. The nurse picks him up and begins to run with him. She said, this is the chosen one. I got to protect him. This is the one that's going to do great things for God. I got to protect him. But wow, she was running with him. At a moment of inattention, Mephibosheth fell out of her hands. And the Bible says his feet became lame. He became a cripple. Now this chosen vessel, with all of this destiny, with all this anointing on his life, now he has a failure. And now he has an inadequacy. And the thought comes to his mind, God could never use me anymore. I messed up too many times. I stumbled too much. I'm imperfect. I'm defined by what has happened to me. Everyone's going to look at me and know that I'm messed up and that I'm not perfect. But Mephibosheth, there's still an anointing on you. There's still a future on you. There's still a destiny on you. I wish someone would clap their hands if you believe what I'm preaching. His dad died and his granddad died in the same day. And that same day, something died in him. he began to lose the wonder of his call. He began to lose the wonder of his destiny. He began to lose the wonder of his uniqueness. And he gave up on himself. And he went to Lodabar. No one took Mephibosheth captive to Lodabar. No, he volunteered himself in the Lodabar. And that is the worst prison to break out of. The prison that you put yourself in. That's the toughest prison to break out of, because you become a prisoner of your own thoughts of yourself. And you get yourself into prison. And you got the key in your pocket, but you don't feel worthy to come out because you look at your condition and how inadequate you are. Lodabar, it was the place where dreams died. It literally means no word, no communication, wilderness, no fruit in Lodabar. It's where he didn't want to hear what anybody had to say. Have you ever received so many prophecies and you were so disappointed for it not being fulfilled? You didn't want to hear another prophecy. Now people prophesy over your life and you get more discouraged than encouraged. I'm talking to you right now. You don't want to hear another encouraging word because you've heard so many and you've been so disappointed of it not happening. So every time somebody gets up behind this pulpit and prophesy life in you, you just sink lower into condemnation because you feel unworthy. And you look at yourself and you look at where you're supposed to be and you don't even want to hear it anymore. Some of y'all have already shut me off in this building. If I preached on hell, you'd be crying and you'd be running up to the altar to pray. Why? Because you feel like you deserve hell. But when I preach hope, you tense up because you're scared to hope again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Every time your hope gets deferred and you get disappointed, you get scared to hope again. So you come to church every Sunday and you're scared to believe. Because if you believe, I might get disappointed again. So you just sit there and you fold your arms because you are afraid of believing in the promise again. So God has sent me here on a Sunday morning to bring fresh life. Pama Sataya, hallelujah. You've given up on yourself. You've given up on yourself. That's what happens when you go through tragedies. That's what happens when you go through sufferings. You begin to give up on yourself. We all talk about Job and how Job, when he went through a battle, when he lost everything, the first thing he did was worship. But nobody talks about the next chapter, whenever Job began to curse himself, where he said, I wish I was never born. He said, why did my mother's knees prevent me? He said, let the sun never shine on my day again. He said, let the stars never twilight on my day again. You see, when Job went through a battle, it was easy for him to see the goodness of God. But when he looked at himself in the mirror, he saw no good in himself. And I'm preaching to people here that you know how to worship God in the midst of a storm. You know how to see the goodness of God in the midst of a storm. But when the mirror comes in front of you, you begin to curse yourself. You say, you're the reason that I'm here. And all of your inadequacies. What's wrong with me? I deserve judgment. I deserve what happened to my kids. I should have been a better parent. I should have did this, and I should have did that, and I shouldn't have let him go there. And when you go through a battle, yes, I know you worship God, but But you don't see any good in yourself. You see everything good with God, but you don't see any good in yourself. And I'm preaching to people this morning that have given up on themselves. I know you played it real cool. You still come to church. You're still faithful. You still worship. I know, but deep down, you've given up on yourself. That's why your praise doesn't change the atmosphere anymore, because you don't even believe that God is hearing your praise, because you feel unworthy. That's why your prayers don't shake the foundation anymore. Because you don't even believe you're worthy enough for God to even hear your prayer. So you just show up. You stagger on in here. And you know when you get emotional, you get emotional when you pray for others. But if anybody dares to pray for you, you tense up because you say, I don't deserve it. All your breakthroughs come when you pray for others. But if anybody dares to pray for you, you don't even open up your mouth because you say, I'm past gone. I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost right now. You've lost the sparkle. You've lost the sparkle of being anointed. You've lost the sparkle of being distinct. You've lost the sparkle of the prophecies that have been over your life. You've lost the sparkle in your eye. You try to do what you used to do. I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost right now. You try to lift up your hands like you used to lift up your hands. You try to dance like you used to dance when you believed, but it's become shallow. Because deep down you don't believe that it's ever going to happen, because you don't feel like you're worthy enough. But the Holy Ghost sent me here this morning to say, you remind them that they are my son. You remind them that they are my daughter. You remind them that they are my precious children. And I still want to do what I said I was going to do. Can somebody clap their hands in this building? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Come on, somebody lift up your voice for a moment. I'm preaching to you. Hallelujah. When you believed, you used to run up front. When you believed, you used to come up front. You used to take a lap around the building. Now, since some trial has happened to you and you gave up on yourself, now you just get further and further from the altar. You've learned how to disappear in the crowd because you're scared to trust and believe again. You used to be up here, but after the trial, all of a sudden, you're just getting further and further from the front. You don't even feel worthy to go up there anymore. You say, you know what? Let me take my place back here and disappear in the crowd. You're still in the trial right now. So you get further. And if you sit in this area, when everybody starts praying, you just back up a little bit because you're scared to hope and you're scared to believe. And so you make sure you get up. As soon as they say, everybody stand, you're the first one out of the building. Because you're scared to hope in yourself. Come on, I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost in this building. You hid yourself there. You hid yourself in Lodabar, the place where dreams die. You hid yourself there because you feel like you deserve it. And you've been in Lodabar. You come to church, you're faithful, I know. But you've been in Lodabar. You make sure the King's word can't get to you. My Lord, in the Holy Ghost, I'm talking to somebody right now. And so it reminds me of a story that nobody likes to talk about. It reminds me of the story of Tamar. Nobody likes talking about Tamar, but there's a reminder in the text here that I gotta present to you about Tamar that nobody talks about. Tamar got raped by someone she trusted. She got raped by a relative. She got raped by somebody that was close to her, and a tragedy happened in her life. 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse 17, it details what happens after she gets raped. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 17. Look what it says. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out for me and bolt the door after her. Listen, nobody talks about her coat of many colors. Verse 18, look what it says. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her. And laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom her brother said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But now hold thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. When Tamar went through a struggle, she had a garment of diverse colors on her. She had a coat of many colors that nobody talks about, that the king put her on her to put a distinction on her before everybody. She was chosen. She had a destiny that when she went through a struggle, she looked at that coat and she began to rend that coat. God is done with me. God can't use me. The king doesn't care. And she rent her identity when she went through a struggle. When she went through a battle, what the king gave her, she destroyed because she felt unworthy of it. The Bible details rape in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Look how the Bible details rape. Look how the Bible looks at rape. Deuteronomy 22 and 25. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. Listen, for as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. God said, I compare rape to murder. Because something dies in the life of an individual that can never be revived again except through the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what happened to you. All I know is that you have rent your coat. I don't know if it was depression. I don't know if it was a season of postpartum depression. I don't know if it was a season of a marriage struggle. I don't know if you were raped, if you were molested, if you were... I don't know what happened. All I know is that you picked up that coat in your hand and you've begun to tear it. That's why no one ever talks about her coat of many colors. Joseph had a coat of many colors. We always talk about his coat. Nobody talks about Tamar's coat. You know why? Because Tamar rent her own coat. She ended her own story. And she remained desolate in Absalom's house. She didn't even give God an opportunity to get glory out of what happened. She just said, it's over. And she didn't give God an opportunity. That's the difference between Tamar and Joseph, is because Joseph never rent his own coat. I got to minister to you. Joseph never rent his own coat. The enemy rent his coat from him. But Joseph never destroyed his own coat. And when the enemy rends your coat, it just means you've outgrown it. Because when the enemy rends your coat from you, it just means that God is measuring you for a new coat. I'm about to preach to somebody in this building. Anytime the enemy destroys the coat you have on, it means you've outgrown it. And God is measuring you for a new coat. Just don't destroy your own coat, because as long as you don't touch it, come on, God will get glory. the enemy rent his first coat, the coat of promise. And when they rent it from him, it got him measured for a new coat in Potiphar's house. That was the coat of process. And in the coat of process, the enemy rent the coat of process off of him. And it got him measured for a new coat in the palace where Pharaoh would put on him a new coat, the coat of fulfillment. And no devil in hell can take away the coat of fulfillment that God has put on your life. Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. I got to preach to you right now. I'm wrapping up, but you got to hear me right now. Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. Jesus, he robed himself in flesh. Jesus came in a coat of flesh. And while he was on the cross, the enemy picked up a spear and rent his coat. But it got him measured for a resurrection coat. When I go to get fitted for a new coat, when I go to get fitted for a suit, the first thing they tell me is, Victor, stretch your arms out. Victor, put your feet together. Victor, let me put the pins in you. I am measuring you for a new coat. Well, they stretch Jesus' arms out, and then they put his feet together, and then they put the pins in him, and it got him measured for a new coat. I said, you survived Lodabar. Now it's time to come out of there and be what God has created you to be. You were not meant to dwell there forever. It's time for you to come out with a new coat. It's time to shake off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment, put on the coat, put on the garment of praise in this building. You need to stand on your feet and clap your hands with everything in you. You need to stand on your feet and lift up your voice from the front to the back, from the bottom to the balcony. You need to clap your hands, lift up your voice. I said, come forth. You've been in Lodabar too long. Come forth. It's time for you to come out of there. You survived Lodabar. You survived the hell. You survived the depression. Now it's time, if you can't run forward, you need to crawl out of there. If you can't run out, you need to walk out. If you can't jump out, you need to crawl out. It's time to come forth in the power of God. Come on, clap those hands. Clap those hands. I feel an anointing in this building right now. Clap those hands right now. Clap, clap. Something's beginning to shift. I feel a new garment beginning to descend. I feel a new anointing beginning to take root. I feel somebody beginning to believe again. Come forth, Mephibosheth. It's time. You still got a destiny. The king has a seat with your name on it. He has a garment that is reserved for you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I feel something beginning to shift. I'm feeling the sparkle beginning to come back in your eye. There's still a destiny on you. There's still a future for your family. This will not define you forever. There is a future for you. Come on. I want you to grab the person's hand next to you. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to begin to lift up your voice and pray for that person. Hey, come on, Shia. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. You're ready. 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 Come on, you need to pray with the person next to you. You don't need to pray by yourself right now. Put your hand on the shoulder next to you or grab their hand and begin to pray for them to come forth. No matter how unworthy they feel, it's time to come out. Come on, shut up. advance it from the front to the back. You need to move it closer. You in the balcony, you need to come down. This is your first step out of Lodabar. Everybody come forward. This is your first step out of Lodabar. This is your first step into your identity.
I see the faithfulness of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.